Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
All right, today we're going to talk about how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my round line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to round to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you around, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never around, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You know, it's one of those complicated subjects, but it really should not be. When we talk about racism, when we talk about relationships with people who don't look the way we do, you know, I thought we were doing just fine. It's not a perfect world. Nobody thinks that it is. And there are going to be bad people out there all over the place, right? You cannot legislate behavior. A lot of this stuff has to come at home, right? You have to teach things at home. But the more you focus on something, the less meaning I think it ends up having at the end of the day. If everything is racist, then nothing is at all. If every woman is a victim of some kind of an assault, why would anybody want to ever deal with women again? If Don Lemon can only see the world as a black gay man and doesn't branch beyond what clearly are his crutches, I don't give a fat rip what he looks like or who he loves. Do you? Of course not. This is where we are, though, where we're mired in this swirl. So we're in the commode. We're swirling around the bowl. Swirl, swirl, swirl. There's no on-ramp, off-ramp, no getting out of it. And it's all by design. So when we talk about Harvard University, I have to honestly question the value of this institution. I have to question the value of college in general in so many capacities, because we're seeing people, we're seeing grown-ups behaving like children, same way we're seeing it in Congress. We're seeing people who have cut corners, who've been elevated into positions they ought not have been because they are not smart enough. It doesn't mean they're, because they're black. It just so happens that these are the people who are being exposed as frauds. And some of the things that they're writing about are just ridiculous. And they're pushing that communist manifesto, the agenda to destroy. How do you destroy the greatest place on planet Earth? Got to chip away at the family. You got to remove God and conscience, and the golden rule. You've got to make everybody angry. You've got to create smoke screens so people can huddle around, warm their hands and fan the flames. And all of it, unfortunately, is predicated on this idea that you ought not be held responsible for what you do, how you act, what you say, if you check a box. Well, so I'm a big fan of Christopher Rufo. He is a great journalist who has really, he's really dug into the woke agenda, the nonsense agenda in education. And in this particular Substack that he wrote regarding Harvard, he blows the lid on yet another toxic person, and she happens to be a black woman, who obviously was elevated to a position because all of a sudden now we have all these quotas we have to fill, which inherently is dangerous, you know as well as I, that doesn't create American exceptionalism. It satisfies some global agenda of garbage that we never signed up for, nor did we vote for. The same way the Young Turk said she didn't sign up for these radical New York policies that allow violent criminals to walk free among the population. So I want to read this to you. Another Harvard racial justice scholar is being accused of plagiarism. Now, unfortunately, this is not anything new. We're not like, what? Harvard? I think Harvard has absolutely punched itself in the pants, shall we say, in the crotchal region. Hakpow! Again and again and again. And this is the most recent iteration. Harvard professor Christina Cross is a rising star in the field of critical race studies. What the hell even is that? Is that like the African diaspora, which I don't know what that means? What are you doing? We're creating a generation of students who cannot think critically, who are ensconced in a bubble of feelings predicated on some inherent disadvantage they have based on something that they can't control about themselves, whether it's their gender, their race, or their sexual identity. Because no, I don't think you can choose. So she earned a PhD from the University of Michigan, this woman, Christina Cross, Harvard professor. She secured the support of the National Science Foundation, I'm sure all too eager to fall over themselves to have a black woman check a box for them. She garnered attention from the New York Times when she published an influential article titled "The Myth of the Two-Parent Home." The myth. Now, that's vague, so let's hope for some granular data, shall we? So in her 2019 dissertation called "The Color, Class, and Context of Family Structure and Its Association with Children's Educational Performance," won a slate of awards. Of course it did. Including the American Sociologist Association, Sociological Association, Dissertation Award, and the ProQuest Distinguished Dissertation Award, and helped catapult her onto the Harvard faculty. What do you want to bet? What happened next? Bum, bum, bum. Well, according to a new complaint filed with Harvard's Office of Research Integrity, her work is compromised by multiple instances of plagiarism, including verbatim plagiarism, also mosaic plagiarism. Wow, we've even diagnosed people who steal thoughts from other people. We put these fancy words on them. Oh, it's a mosaic, right? It's not a kaleidoscope of plagiarism yet, but it's close. Hopefully soon we'll near the tapestry of plagiarism phase. Uncited paraphrasing and uncited quotations from other sources. That's got to suck, right? I'm a woman. I'm a black woman. I'm an angry black woman. I'm going to talk about the two-parent household as being racist, right? I'm going to lie. I'm going to steal. I'm going to take other people's thoughts because I don't have my own. And I was unwilling to do my own research because, by the way, I'm probably a product of the system of suck that the gentleman that you heard earlier in the program talk about. We're brainwashed into thinking that the Democrats care about us until it gets down to the nitty-gritty of education and we see our kids in the white communities getting fancy computers and getting the dry erase boards and all the magic screens and such. And we have antiquated suck. They want us in our place. They need us. Needy. You're right, sir. Chris Rufo writes this: "I've obtained a copy of the complaint, which documents a pattern of misappropriation in Cross's dissertation and one other academic paper. Complaint begins with a dozen allegations of plagiarism related to the dissertation that range in severity from small bits of duplicative language, which may not constitute an offense, to multiple passages heavily plagiarized from other sources without proper attribution." It's so weird how this happens. The most serious allegation Is that Cross? Cross lifted an entire paragraph, nearly verbatim, from a paper by a woman named Stacy Bostick, titled "Family Instability in Childhood and Criminal Offending During the Transition into Adulthood," without citing the source or placing verbatim language in quotations. And it goes to give you the exact language. Well, the problem with this is, not only is this woman Cross lifting verbatim language out of other people's research. She's using their research to go out and posit that if you're part of a husband-wife, presumably husband-wife family structure with the children and the fence and the minivan, that you are at a core level the very embodiment of a racist. I don't have time for this anymore. Harvard ought to be Bud Lighted. What they spew is toxic garbage. It's lies extrapolated from other people's work because the box-checking people they hired as heroes of their DEI initiatives don't have apparently the mental acuity to do their own research without stealing from others. Now, of course, they expect to be wrapped in that invisible cloak, right? So that they do not ever have to be held accountable. And they can say exactly what Elon Musk apparently is to Don Lemon. After sitting down with Elon Musk, Don Lemon, formerly of CNN, talking about this and that and getting eviscerated by Elon Musk, Don Lemon comes out and says, well, Elon probably has a problem with me because I'm black and gay. How dare you, you small-minded twit. I dislike you because you suck, and that has nothing to do with who you love and what you look like. Quick time out. We'll be right back on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You get the government that gets voted in, I guess. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee signing into a law. This idea that public schools should have LGBTQ plus history. Let's not talk about the Civil War. Or maybe in addition to it, we'll also talk about the brave men and women of the LGBTQ community and how vital they are to our national fabric, historically speaking. What are we doing? What are we doing? It is a race to the bottom, and America is winning. Now, I'm sorry, but you guys need to hear Representative Chantel Brown. This is another one of those women who's being used as a pawn by the Democratic Party. She's been given a script to read in yesterday's hearing with Tony Bobulinski. And she reads it. And you need to hear all of it. This is what triggered suck sounds like. Go.
It is the bondless, broke bluffer, twice impeached, four times indicted, insurrection initiator, election denying, self-declared dictator on day one, and puppet for Putin. The one who wants to terminate the Constitution and defund the FBI. The one who romanticized exchanging of love letters with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. The one who just last week embraced autocrat Orban of Hungary to discuss their diabolical plans to destroy our democracy. The one who proposed a policy to ban Muslims from this country. The one who just this week said any Jewish person who votes for a Democrat hates their religion and Israel. The one who called neo-Nazis carrying tiki torches chanting Jews will not replace us, good people. The one who referred to African nations as, I quote, shithole countries. The one who called NFL players, the majority whom are black, sons of bitches for taking a knee in protest of the ever-present racial inequality and police brutality that continues to pervade our justice system. The one who called Mexicans rapists and promised to build a wall and have them pay for it, and in case you missed it, it didn't happen. The one who told women of color from the born in the United States, elected to Congress and serving on this very committee to go back to their own countries. The one who bragged about grabbing women by their private parts. The one who confused his rape victim, whom he claimed was not his type, for his very own ex-wife. The one who is an admitted and committed adulterer who attempted to pay off a porn star for her silence. The one who has publicly mocked people with disabilities. disabilities. The one who dodged the draft and referred to prisoners of war as losers, the very people who pay a high price so we could enjoy the freedoms that far too many of us take for granted. The one who boasted about being able to stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue to shoot someone and not lose votes. The one who promoted political and physical violence multiple times, including most recently at my rally in the home state, my home state of Ohio, where he declared there would be a bloodbath if he didn't win. The one who intentionally denied COVID was deadly and eventually suggested testing injecting bleach into our bodies to kill the respiratory virus that took the lives of 1 million people in the United States. The one who ordered his son-in-law get top secret security clearance, overruling concerns flagged by intelligence officials, who, according to this committee's chairman, admitted the former president's son-in-law crossed the line of ethics by accepting a $2 billion investment into that very same son-in-law's fledgling firm only 6 months after leaving the White House. If any of this sounds crazy, it's because it is. This might sound unbelievable, but it's all true. These are facts. Indisputable facts.
Wow.
A thing that is known and proven to be true. This may be a foreign concept to some of my colleagues, but for those of us who still have a relationship with the truth, please know this is not an exhaustive list of inappropriate, unethical, and questionable behavior by the maniacal manipulator of Mar-a-Lago, because I could go on, but I only have 5 minutes. Yet here we are again, trying to make sense out of nonsense. I would humble respectfully ask my Republican colleagues on this committee to stop falling over yourselves to win the approval of one, because millions of people are depending on you to defend our delicate democracy. And with that, I yield the remainder of my time.
Amazing, isn't it? That's just amazing. Now, if Donald Trump is suing George Stephanopoulos and ABC News for George, in a sit-down interview with Congresswoman Nancy Mace, calling Donald Trump a convicted rapist, that young woman, Chantel Brown, from Cuyahoga County, Ohio, if she doesn't get a lawsuit after that 3 minute and 58 second diatribe of filth, I'd be surprised. This is what we're up against. And unfortunately for Chantel, she's either too stupid or too complicit to realize that she is being used. She is nothing more than a doormat for the DNC. They handed her the script and she performed it. This was a Tony Bobulinski hearing, by the way. Did you hear her questions of him? Right. Whatever happened to me too? I don't know, but Christine Blasey Ford is desperate for you to remember it. I got that story next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I freely admit it is likely because I am a mother of 5 sons. That the whole Me Too movement struck me as dangerous from the beginning. The idea that we should just all jump on and believe someone because of their private parts. Because as a woman, you should be able to say whatever you want to say and be believed. Well, I know a lot of dirtbag women. In fact, I know more dirtbag women than I know men. And I know a lot of men. See, when that critical place where ego and insecurity meet is where a lot of dirtbaggery begins. I don't understand the need for the spotlight. I'm in a spotlight, and I will tell you, I'm not always comfortable with it. I don't crave it. It doesn't juice me up. But I believe that we have important things to talk about. And I enjoy talking to you on this program. But there are some people who are desperate for the headline. Desperate for the light, desperate for the notoriety, desperate for the news. And I believe Christine Blasey Ford was used by the Democratic Party many years ago in an effort to derail Donald Trump's pick of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. And anybody who is being honest, who saw her performance, knows something's wrong with the lady. Something is wrong with her. And I have great compassion for people who need help. But to go on live television in front of the world, in front of your elected representatives, and to share a story without corroboration, without evidence, without proof, is as obnoxious as listening to that woman, Chantel Brown, lie for 4 minutes about Donald Trump. It is not okay for an insecure, egocentric woman to ruin the life of a man because of a movement stupidly called Me Too. Because if Christine Blasey Ford, with no evidence at all, can say that Brett Kavanaugh sexually abused her in some capacity, raped her even in high school, what's to stop anybody from saying anything about anyone else? And then what's the message to the actual survivors of real abuse? Again, if everything is racist, then nothing is. If anyone can claim Me Too and demand to be listened to, it waters it down. And it's dangerous. So I find it intriguing that this Christine Blasey Ford is on the book tour circuit. And she's drumming up the Me Too movement again, hoping that you're going to feel bad for her and you're going to buy her book. She was on The View. She bounced over to CBS. And the media have fallen over themselves to give Christine Blasey Ford even more time to smear Brett Kavanaugh. This is an article from The Federalist. I'm really enjoying The Federalist. It's gross when you go forward 6 years from that congressional testimony. The press once again treating Christine Blasey Ford with this little journalistic skepticism, allowing her to insist that Kavanaugh is guilty of teenage sexual assault while promoting her splashy new memoir. I mean, CBS Sunday Morning, their coverage of this was literally walking through the park with Christine Blasey Ford, and that's how they handled their treatment, their scrutiny, their journalistic integrity of this story. This is so wildly concerning to me, it's not even funny. Because I want to go out to every woman out there and say, stop it! Knock it off! Because what you're doing is so dangerous. To the extent that anybody in the media that I've been watching has pushed Christine Blasey Ford on any of her allegations is preposterous. And yet again, here we have Brett Kavanaugh being dragged through the mud. Ford's own story, in many ways, is an exception to Me Too's rule. She was listened to. She was, to a lesser extent, heard. She came forward as a scientist. On The View, hosts told her the book was fantastic and said, thank you for what you did, speaking truth to power. Why do women allow themselves to be used in the same way that the Black community has allowed itself to be used by the Democrats? When are you going to stop allowing yourself to being a pawn? This Chantel Brown, she should be embarrassed. The DNC put a script in her hand. And I guarantee you, she went home and she practiced. She timed it just to make sure she could nail it in the right cadence at the right amount of time so she didn't run out. So she could make her 4-minute grandstand slamming Donald Trump. Even though Donald Trump isn't the one who was being called to testify. Tony Bobulinski and Hunter Biden were. Christine Blasey Ford has issues, whether she needs a therapist or what have you. But think about the voices that the left elevates. They elevate people like Claudine Gay, the black female plagiarist former president who gets to keep her salary and all of the other perks, save the title. There's no real punishment there. Who else does the left celebrate? The people like Don Lemon, who check multiple boxes for the DEI woke crowd of suck. Gay and black? If only he could be a lesbian, like what's-her-face, KJP, and be an immigrant, he'd knock it out of the park. This is America's Got Talent, because it's not talent anymore. It's who's got the greatest sob story. Who comes from the hardest background? It's not good enough anymore to just have God-given talent. Talent that you want to share. Talent that you work on to hone. That you use as something that's significant about yourself. That you share with everybody else. You've got to have a story. You got to check the boxes. You got to strike the nerve. It's not well enough that you can sing a cappella like an angel. If you didn't fall out of an airplane into a vat of burning oil and survive burns all over your body while your family was massacred, you're not going to win. That's not what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about the sob story. It's not about the victim complex. It's not about the hero savior complex. It's about making America great again. And it ought not be complicated, because making America great again involves work. It involves honesty. It involves logic. It involves education. It involves entrepreneurial spirit. It involves believing in exceptionalism. And what we have, and what we've suffered through for more than 3 years now, is everything anti extraordinary. And I just thought I would read you, though she's put out a book about her surviving Brett Kavanaugh with crap evidence, I thought it would be wise for me to quote Molly Hemingway, who writes for The Federalist, that there is no evidence Ford and Kavanaugh ever met. That the people that Christine Blasey Ford used as her eyewitness corroboration had no confidence in her story. That friends had pressured this guy Leland Kaiser, who she hoped would come forward as a character witness, pressured her to change her story. An alleged witness strongly disputed the claims. Ford's own father supported Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. Ford doesn't know the location. She didn't know how she got there. She didn't know how she got home. She didn't even know the date or even what time of the week or even the season. Ford somehow remembers that she had precisely one beer, but not other details. And forget that Brett Kavanaugh's contemporaneous calendars support his claim that he was nowhere near that. Forget that Ford changed the date of the incident by years from her initial stories, kind of like Cassidy Hutchinson changing her eyewitness testimony before the January 6th committee. That Donald Trump lunged for the steering wheel. Forget that Ford's first mention of Brett Kavanaugh's name is 2012, after he became a national figure. And that false claims were made about Ford's inability to fly. That Ford scrubbed her social media. Said she wanted to stay confidential, but the first call was to the Washington Post. And that Ford's own attorney admitted a motive of desiring an asterisk by Kavanaugh's name, and that she's benefited politically, financially, and socially. And that nothing in Brett Kavanaugh's past even remotely lined up to Christine Blasey Ford's claim for 37 years. You're supposed to put all that aside and deny all of that and me to believe Christine Blasey Ford. This is the world in which my five sons are growing up. Would you ever dare go near a liberal woman? Not a chance. Not worth it. Not in a million years. You know, the left is playing fire. They're playing with fire. A generation of voters is watching. Generation Z, unable, incapable to afford the American dream. Is that why the United States has dropped off of a list? I'm going to tell you which one and why this is meaningful if the Democrats are paying attention next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, this is not a huge surprise to me, but it's one of those residual things that comes with living in a government of suck, an abusive government in which your president can be a lying traitor, a demented lying traitor. That's not harsh. That's just telling you the truth. Is it any wonder CBSNews.com headline, U.S. drops from top 20 happiest countries list in 2024 World Happiness Report? You know, I hope that each of you the way I do, and it's not perfect, home life is not perfect, but I hope you find that joy at home. I hope it is what sustains you. I hope if you've been blessed with the gift of children and grandchildren, that when you look in their faces, you see the possibility that the sinking ship can be fixed, that America can be saved. But right now, this Democrat Party is really losing Generation Z. When you can't afford what your parents and your grandparents, when you are the generation where that time-honored tradition of just hoping to provide for your children a little bit better than you had it. We're raising a generation of kids right now, 18 to 24, who cannot say that, will not be able to do that at this path. United States no longer among the 20th happiest countries in the 20 happiest countries in the world, according to new data from Gallup and its partners. In the newly released 2024 World Happiness Report, the U.S. dropped out of the top 20 on the list for the first time in the report's 12-year history. I mean, it's not like you're surprised. The U.S. now ranks at number 23 compared to 15 last year. The researchers say this is driven in part by a decline in how Americans under 30 feel about their lives. In the U.S., happiness or subjective well-being has decreased in all age groups, but especially for young adults, Gallup Managing Director Ilana Ron Levy told CBS News in an emailed statement, adding that social connections are one key factor contributing to this generational disparity in happiness. The World Happiness Report and the Gallup Meta Social Connectedness data show peak loneliness for younger Americans. It's widely recognized that social support and feelings of loneliness are influential factors in determining overall happiness, and that these dynamics offer or differ across various age groups. The quality of interpersonal relationships may impact the well-being of younger and older individuals in distinct ways. I can tell you, one of my three adult sons, my oldest son, Michael, is in the next several months planning on leaving. He's going to move. He's going to leave Pennsylvania. It's not the same place it used to be. Our neighborhood is not the safe and inviting and welcoming place it used to be. It has changed. Our cars have been vandalized. Our political signs backing the blue and backing Donald Trump have been vandalized. Our Christmas lights have been cut. And good luck trying to find a young woman out there who's not one of these Me Too wacko enthusiasts. Look, there is a place for victims to be secure and safe and to share their stories and to be heard and to be believed. But to wave a magic wand, demand that we all do this or we all do that, it's not working. My son realizes that for him to be able to afford doing what he needs to do, living on his own, is he going to be able to do that without my help? Because if that's the case, and that's what a lot of his friends are reporting to him, that no matter the two jobs that they're working, they can't make ends meet, we are watching a generation, the first one in my lifetime, for whom the American dream is out of reach. As a parent, I feel that that is a failure, but it is a direct result of liberal policy, of feelings over facts, of box checking over ability and meritocracy, of excusing behaviors that are dangerous and wrong that we all know are. Don't ever take responsibility. That is what you see. Because they never do. There's a reason that Jason Golanis is in prison, where he has been raped, he says, by a prison guard. Where he gasped on his video out of shame for not being able to fend off the attack. That is something that man will wake up to and go to bed with every day for the rest of his life. And he wasn't the ringleader of the Biden crime family syndicate. Hunter Biden was, who roams freely to openly and smugly, publicly defy congressional requests to appear. So I beg your pardon if I don't believe in liberty and justice for all. It should be that way. It's not what it is. And it isn't one nation, indivisible either. Cold, hard times for us, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need a happiness survey to tell you that. Thank you for being part of the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Come on back tomorrow. Can't wait to see you. Peace.